Rose Hall is an 18th century plantation manor house and the home of Jamaica's most famous ghost, the White Witch of Rose Hall. Of the 700 great houses that once served as the homes of Jamaica's wealthy plantation owners, only 15 remain today. The others have been burned to the ground by slaves during the Great Jamaican Slave Revolt of 1831 to 32.
Of these remaining manor houses, Rose Hall is the most well-known and the most infamous. What did Annie Palmer do to earn the title of White Witch, and why do people still talk about her? Hi, my name is Renata Daniel.
And I'm Anne Rekovich, and welcome to this week's episode of True Hauntings Podcast. And this week we head to Jamaica to find out the truth behind the myths and the legends of Rose Hall Manor House.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
And so welcome back, everyone, to the studio, and welcome, Anne.
Oh, thank you.
But let's get on with this amazing story.
Oh, I'm looking forward to
all the way from Jamaica.
I'm looking forward to this one. Ghosts, Robert? Spirits of the dead? Spirits of hell, yes. I believe in them. I know that they exist. I have seen them. Don't be startled. I'm not raving. I tell you, I have seen them. But Rose Hall Great House itself is not haunted. No house can be haunted if there lives in it a man or a woman strong-minded enough to defy anyone, anything, that might wish to return from the grave to revisit the scenes of its bodily existence. I can keep away any spirit by the force of my mind. They may be outside this building. They may creep and crawl close up to the windows, to the threshold of the door. But inside, where I am, they can never come. It is not of them I am afraid. I despise them in death as I despise them in life. They were weaker than I when alive. And I am still stronger than they are now that they are dead. Come, she said. I will show you the house, the haunted house where I live by myself. My first husband died in that room, she said laconically, so I keep it closed. The silly slaves are always hearing noises in there, though I have stopped showing fright when I am near them. And there, she went on, indicating the room, the one further on, is where my second husband died, and this one, she pointed to another, was where my last master passed away, drunk. It's a beastly story, Robert. I tell it to you because others will do so, and they are not likely to tell the truth, or indeed to know it so well as I. You will probably hear that I keep all these rooms closed, and that is so. They are never opened now. She took the lights from him, went towards the other side of the landing, and threw open another door, stepping inside. And this is where your little friend retires at night to her loneliness and friendlessness. Come in, she mocked. There is not a single soul to see us and to talk. She put the candle holder on the dressing table and fixed her eyes on him. There was provocation in them, an invitation scarcely to be misunderstood. He stepped inside, looked around, and went up to one of the windows. He was breathing heavily as an unpracticed runner might. he saw the lands of the estate rolling away until, lost in obscurity, could distinguish the darker shadows as trees towering above the cane, caught a glimpse of lights far below, and knew them to be those from Boiling House and Still House and Bookkeeper's Quarters, and, raising his head, gazed for a while on the innumerable tropical stars which glowed above in the soft, silken blackness of the sky. It was all vague and still and lovely out there, and here he was, a few days after his coming to this strange land of slavery and passion and beauty and mystery, for to him it seemed mysterious. In the company of a woman with a strange history, a woman alone, who had passed through more heart-searing experiences than fall to the lot of most women, and who was, to his thinking, the most beautiful of her sex that his eyes had ever seen. And she loved him, wanted him. He could not be blind to that.
I'm going to vomit, Em.
And so are the days of our lives.
Da, da,
now, we'll let you know where that came from a little bit later in the show.
Oh, God.
All right, but that's a quote. It's a big, giant quote, but we'll let you know which book that came from. But it's fascinating, isn't it?
Horrible.
Okay, my little darklings, I know, just by looking at me, you think, that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Now, we're going to turn things around a little bit in this show because we had a little bit of a conundrum as how to present it. So Renata's going to do a very short, dry history of the location, and then I'm going to go into the legends and the ghosts, and then Renata's going to wrap it up at the end for a nice change.
Nice. So just put a ribbon on it, wrap it up, and there you go.
Let's hope not too many people are discombobulated by this change. Mm.
Oh, well, never mind. They'll deal with it.
You build a bridge, get over it.
Yes. So this is all about Rose Hall, and we go back to Jamaica for this particular episode. And the whole story actually starts back in 1746. And it's when an Englishman by the name of Henry Fanning purchases a 290-acre plot of land to build a home on because he is about to marry a lady named Rosa Kelly. Now, Rosa Kelly has a fairly big part in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember her name. And Rosa is the daughter of Irish immigrants who are now living in Jamaica. And the thing about Jamaica at the time was that many of the wealthy, they made their wealth by going out to Jamaica and purchasing these big plots of land and growing stuff.
Sugar cane, I think it was.
Later sugar cane, but I think before that it was tobacco and something else. Ooh. And then it turned into sugar cane. Okay. And they were allowed to have slaves,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of slaves.
Yeah.
And this is the time when this family started to come over. So Henry and Rosa married, 1747, but unfortunately Henry died just a few short months after the wedding. So Rosa then married George Ashe, who was a landowner in St. James Parish 3 years later in 1750, and George immediately set about building an even more beautiful house for Rosa. And many believe that this is why Rose Hall is named Rose Hall. It's
Because of Rosa.
Because of Rosa.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yep. So sadly, but mysteriously, George dies soon after they get married.
Aww.
And just before the home is completed in 1752. So Rosa only gets to be married with him for about 2 years. Now, a year later in 1753, Rosa marries again.
Right.
So this is marriage number 3, Norwood Witter, who is a plantation owner and also a widower. And the marriage is an unhappy one, so they say. And Norwood is a bit of a gambler, and apparently he spends all of his wife's money and leaves her in considerable debt. So the marriage ends after 13 years when Witter dies in 1767.
Right.
So this is all the backstory to the creation of Rose Hall. So again, 1768, Rosa marries again, marriage number 4, John Palmer. And John owns the neighboring estate.
Mm-hmm.
So Palmer is also a widower. He has 2 sons living in England, and John and Rosa apparently have a happy marriage. And that lasts until Rosa's death in 1790. And then John dies 7 years later in 1797.
And I'm glad she finally found happiness.
Yes. 4 goes. Now, because John and Rosa have no children together, Rose Hall and the estates around it, because remember, John had estates before mm-hmm, he mm-hmm. married Rosa, are left in trust to John's sons in England. The sons never go to Jamaica to claim the estate, and neither have any of the children. And they pass the estate on to the ownership of the Palmer's grandnephew, John Rose Palmer. In 1818, John Rose Palmer moves to Jamaica and he takes over Rose Hall. And soon after that, he marries Annie Patterson.
Right. So this is where Annie comes into the story.
Making her Annie Palmer. And it is she that is known as the White Witch of Rose Hall.
Right.
So that's kind of the...
That's the dry history.
The legacy of the family.
The gynecological story? No? Yep.
And so if we look...
She's missed that, everyone.
If we look at the time,
1700s... Genealogy, Renata. Genealogy, not gynecological.
If we look at the times...
How can we have laughs if you don't respond to my jokes?
There is very little to laugh about in this story. Very little to laugh about. We've got a whole sort of mix of history and this whole slavery thing and the big plantations, and this is all going on in Jamaica, and they're pulling everything they can out of Jamaica while they can because they're making loads of money, and you know the slaves are a dime a dozen and all of this. So this is the backstory that will now lead into legend of the White Witch.
All right.
Of course, she's called the White Witch because she's white.
Well, she is. She's white.
Yes.
All right. So let me just give you a little description of apparently what Annie was looking like. Annie was beautiful beyond compare. She had rich, throaty voice and black, penetrating eyes. Her complexion was smooth.
Oh, is this part of the
Mills and Boone?
Mills and Boone thing that you were reading?
And she could shift from a gentle, smiling creature to a haughty, cruel, sensual, cat-like woman. Oh, my God. How many descriptive words are in there?
As many as I can fit in.
I was still going. Gracefully exuding both anger and sensuality.
Oh, at the same time?
She's a package, isn't she?
She is.
Annie had strength besides her cruelty. She had the power of a mind trained in sorcery. She believed in spirits and had the ability to project death fears in her slaves. And I'm just going to go now into the backstory of how she became the feared witch. As I said, the only two times you need to worry about Annie Palmer is when she hated you and when she loved you.
Right. Was there any
other? So most of the time the slaves there would just try to avoid her or not be noticed. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me a little bit of our Myrtle's plantation story where that slave was listening at the door trying to get cues to not upset the master. So she was known as the White Witch of Rose Hall. She was renowned for her beauty and her cruelty. She apparently tortured, mutilated, and murdered her lovers and slaves. And before she died, she vowed she would be the last mistress of Rose Hall. And it was true that the actual place remained abandoned for quite some time. So she had this huge ambition to gain wealth. She wanted to climb that ladder. So in the early 19th century, the only way a woman could do that was to marry rich. So that's what she did. She married John Palmer and she took up the position of mistress of the plantation. But it wasn't enough. She wanted more. She grew hungry for more wealth and excitement. Her husband was boring.
Yes.
Poor fella. And she began to take the odd lover here and there.
Just to make life exciting.
Yeah, but that was usually some of the slaves and she would just take them. They had no choice. It got to the stage that the husband used to sleep in a separate room and she would demand that some of the slave men who she fancied come to her chamber at night and pleasure her. She grew tired of various lovers, she rather than have herself exposed for what she was doing, she would murder them. So she'd either have somebody murder them or she would do it herself. after 6 years of marriage.
That would bring about no raised eyebrows at all,
oh, no.
would it?
No, not at all. So she knew that she'd been with her hubby long enough now and it was about time to bump him off. So after 6 years, she poisoned John.
Mm-hmm.
Poor John. And as she killed off that husband, she sealed up that bedroom and nobody was allowed to enter it ever again.
Oh, really?
That's right. Hmm. Now, the Slaves were just getting a little bit suspicious at this stage, apparently.
Yeah, but, where's the master gone?
They started to call her the White Witch, so they'd whisper behind their hands, "It's the White Witch." Mm-hmm. So she married two more husbands, all the while still taking slave lovers, and she'd acquire wealth from each of her dead husbands. She used to apparently get off on watching the slaves being beaten, and she was quite often known to stand in the top balcony. They had a little place where she could stand and look out the window, and she would stand there and watch the slaves being flogged for her own amusement. As each of the husbands died, she would then close off the doors, locking them away. So she ended up with three closed bedroom doors sealed up. Now, at this stage, the slaves were thinking that the house was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
So there were doors that would start slamming when there was no wind blowing. And they were also suspicious of the fact that men would come to visit and they would just fall under Annie's enchantment. It was like she had bewitched them. This is where we go into the ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lovely lady, and I'll give you all the references to where I've got this information from. Her name is Beverly Gordon, and she's a native Jamaican and the current manager at the time this article was written for Rose Hall Great House. And she tells a lot of the stories of what happened and the ghost stories that happened there. And she said that not only did Annie Palmer beat the slaves in daylight, but she brought them back to the mansion to torture them. She had a dungeon underneath the house. It's where the ladies and the gentlemen's rooms, bathrooms are now, I assume. They've also got a gift shop.
As you do.
Which we would go nuts in. Let's face it.
Of course we
I would have a magnet from that shop. It would go on my fridge proudly. I do like to collect magnets from haunted locations. So I don't know why. I'm just weird. Anyway, where was I? There were two pits, 16-foot pits that were in that area that she called her dungeons, and that's where she kept the slaves. If she caught them trying to run away from the property, they would get thrown into the pit,
mm-hmm.
16 feet. That's a big drop.
Mm-hmm.
And she would leave them there without food or water, no medical attention until they died.
Mm-hmm. So if by pushing them in, if they broke a leg or something, that was bad luck.
And hopefully they broke their neck for their sake because at least it would be quicker.
Yeah.
Now, this Beverly Gordon also reported that Annie had little regard for her lovers, and she would send one of the slaves to go and bury the bodies of her victims and then send a second group to murder those who had buried the bodies.
No. Geez, that slave population would have just been diminished.
She's going through them just with her sexual rampages.
Wow.
So, as you mentioned, oh, no, you didn't mention. Oops.
Go back.
December of 1831, there was a young gentleman named Robert Rutherford from England who came to Rose Hall to fill the position as a bookkeeper. Now, in my soundscape, you would have heard me mention Robert. I think there might have been a little bit of lust going on there. So Annie, of course, immediately took a shine to this young man, but so did her housekeeper, Millicent.
Ooh.
I feel a bit of a triangle coming on here.
Oh, no.
Or is it a square? I can't. So this is where this whole situation almost turns into an episode of Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
So Millicent's grandfather, Taku, was a powerful voodoo witch,
mm-hmm.
right, and also one of Annie's lovers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Robert Rutherford, who came from the strict society of England, fancied both Millicent and Annie.
Oh, okay.
They took a shine to both. Now, guess how Annie felt about that?
Yeah, I'd say she didn't like that.
Do you think she'd be happy to share?
No.
No sloppy seconds for Annie?
No.
Okay.
No whatsoever.
She wanted Robert's attentions all for herself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what'd she do?
Oh, this is where it gets exciting. They feel like Marlena in Days of Our Lives. It's coming on. She cast a spell on Millicent, or Millie, causing her to die within 9 days. Now, Taku, her grandfather, was not real happy about this.
No.
He was infuriated, and he had kept the fact that he was a voodoo witch himself secret, mm-hmm. right? So he then strangled Annie Palmer to death in her bed.
Oh, no. He got to her.
And he got her comeuppance. Yeah, I'm just going to leave that. I could say something there, but I won't. Annie was entombed in an above-ground coffin. It's a cement coffin that is still there.
Mm-hmm.
At the
we'll throw a picture up.
Yeah, we will throw a picture up. And some of her religious-minded former slaves tried to cast spells on her grave to keep her spirit locked up, but their magic didn't work.
Oh.
And Annie was not stopped by her death. Apparently, she still lingers there today.
Mm.
Now, the house sat empty until 1905 when a family bought the mansion. They weren't worried about the new ghosts. However,
mm-hmm.
the new owner's maid was on the balcony in that very place that Annie liked to look at the slaves being mm-hmm. tortured, and was mysteriously thrown off the balcony to her own death by an unseen force.
Oh, wow.
Who do you think it was?
Must have been Annie's
ghost.
Had to be Annie.
So apparently the family then abandoned that house and it sat empty again till 1965. It's an auspicious year, 1965.
Mm, that's the year you were born.
It was. Mm-hmm. Now you all know how old I am. I know you think I'm much younger than that. So it was purchased by John and Michelle Rollins, and that's where they restored it and turning it into a museum, pub, gift shop and banquet hall. And the bathrooms and the bar is now where Annie Palmer's dungeons once loomed.
And if you have a look at the picture of the house prior to the Rollins taking it, it was a dump.
Yeah, it was in a bad way. It sort of reminds me a little of Monte Cristo.
Really, really bad way.
So Annie has still been seen there in the house or heard all these mysterious occurrences that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes taps at the bar and in the kitchen will start running. No one turns them on, and try as you might, you can't get that pipe to turn off. It just comes on and goes off by itself. They hear doors slam, windows close, and once they've closed, they can't be open, no matter how hard the staff try to push it open. Beverly Gordon said also that men seem to be more inclined to experience the phenomena than women.
Ah, oh, she's still after them, even in the afterlife.
Oh, she's still after a fella.
Yep.
One staff member has seen a woman entering a room. He came down to ask someone who might be in there and was startled when they said no, there was nobody there.
Mm.
And then he went back to check again and the woman was gone. Now, there's been some photographs taken. One was of a misty form on the bedhead where they alleged that it's the original furniture that she was murdered on.
Mm-hmm.
And on this bedhead, there is this shimmery form. Now, I had a look at that and it also popped up in Ghost Hunters International because Ghost Hunters International did an episode there. It's a reflection. It's a light reflection. That's it. And they actually managed to reproduce it.
Oh, you know nothing.
Beverly was not happy. Beverly was not happy.
No, it's got to be Annie.
And there was another photo of they've got this mirror. You know, it was last house we had the haunted mirror as well.
Yeah, yep.
And somebody had taken a photo from an angle into the mirror. And they caught a face.
No.
Now, look, I have to admit that I was pretty impressed with Ghost Hunters International, and Rob, I'm not a big fan of Rob Demarest, but he showed her the photo and said, "Look, we've worked out that it's pareidolia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a ghost face." And mm-hmm. was going, "Oh no, no, no!" And he said, "Well, come on, let's go upstairs now, and I will show you." Mm-hmm. So sure enough, he drags her upstairs. Beverly was not happy. And they stood at the side and he said, "I want you to stand here, right? Yep. And I want you to look at this angle into that mirror and yep. tell me what you see." And there was it reflects a bookcase, I think it was, where there was a vase sitting on top.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they then pop up the photo of the ghost face. It is the bottom half of the vase or vase, whatever yep. you want to call it.
Yep.
So they debunked that.
Yep.
So the two great photos both were debunked.
And Beverly remains not happy.
Not happy. Beverly's not happy.
Oh, you're killing a business.
Oh, no. All right. So there was also this great story of in 1971, a group of psychics came to Rose Hall to try and trap the spirit of Annie Palmer, Beverly said. They tried to raise Annie. And she was giving them a hard time. She came out of the tomb. They were trying to get her back in and they could not. On her tomb, they placed three crosses
yes.
on the three sides.
They're still there too.
They wanted to trap her spirit inside the tomb, but they could not. So they did not place the fourth cross on there and they've just left that side open.
That's right. Just leave. Just go. Leave yep. the poor lady yep. with Annie.
We've raised Annie from the dead. Yeah. Although I thought she actually wasn't entrapped by the tomb. Didn't they say that she wasn't entrapped by the tomb?
Well, she wasn't entrapped by the tomb. But
they've raised her anyway. Yes. And now they've let her loose.
Yep.
And they've done nothing about it.
And they've had a cup of tea and they're going home.
Oh, sorry about that. Beverly was not happy. I'm sorry, Beverly. I'm sure you're an absolutely delightful lady. All right. Now, as I mentioned, we did have some ghost hunting teams go over there and yes. investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
So Ghost Adventures went over there.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find the episode to watch. They've pulled all the Ghost Adventures episode because you're going to get them on Discovery Plus where yes. you pay for them now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did find a summary of what happened. There was some EMF fluctuations. The REM pod on the floor near one of the people there started to alarm multiple times. Now, they're referring to someone called Wilson. I'm not sure who Wilson was, but they said that Wilson's demeanor changed from calm to a very sexual relaxation state.
Oh.
They were turned on by Zach, no doubt. Oh dear.
And he was flinging her charm all over the place.
They had EVPs of yeah.
Mm.
And oh my goodness. I don't know what the questions were. They don't say what the questions were they got the EVP to. Aaron claims that he saw a shadow figure move across the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron had some physical contact where he started to feel tired and about to pass out. At the tomb, it's all about Aaron. Aaron starts to feel a different energy change, and they heard residual noises such as footsteps and a branch breaking.
No.
Oh, no.
Really?
I know. Isn't that just...
It's outside.
Oh, that's just astounding.
That's a branch breaking. That's crazy. That's A1.
Right, yep. And then I said Ghost Hunters International were also there and they debunked the photos. Oh, there was one other thing that they said the glasses used to move around.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up cameras, as you know, set up the static night vision cameras. They showed the vision of the bar with this rat running across, knocking the glasses around.
Oh, and uh-oh.
Beverly was not happy. She's gone, oh, well, thank you for bringing that to my attention. We'll have to do something about that. Yeah. But you got to understand, this is in...
in a tropical country.
A tropical climate.
Yeah.
Now, what astounded me the most when I watched that episode was the amount of noise from insects outside. It was deafening.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was constant, and mm-hmm. at night it got louder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they could hear anything with mm-hmm. that racket that was going mm-hmm. on. So that was just a little side note from me. But once again, I want to give kudos to the Ghost Hunters International team because I think they did a really good job. Now, I'm just going to finish off with this little thing before I hand back to you.
Uh-huh.
The evil wretch of a woman who took so much pleasure in watching others suffer is now stuck wandering the halls and walkways of the mansion that she once ruled over with a wicked hand. Annie Palmer is the stuff of nightmares to the children of Jamaica, and according to many witnesses, the nightmare of the White Witch is not over. Or is it, Renata?
Mm.
Let me hand back to you now.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Because this is where it gets really exciting.
Mm-hmm. One thing you didn't mention was the fact that when Annie was small, she was actually raised by a nanny.
Yes.
Who taught her voodoo.
Yes, apparently she was very skilled in the... I've skipped over that bit in my notes. Oops, sorry.
Very skilled in voodoo.
Yeah.
So this was one of her tricks that she had up her sleeve.
That's why she could put spells on people.
That's true. So is this story of Annie Palmer actually true? Does Annie actually have anything to do with the ghosts that allegedly haunt Rose Hall? Or is it all a figment of someone's imagination? Sorry, Beverly. And you won't be amused. And this has just been added to and added to over the years. And look, it isn't surprising that a story like this would be surrounding a white person in that colony. I'm surprised that there are any buildings standing from the slave revolution at all. Why they left some plantation buildings still up, considering the torturous time they had, is amazing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just didn't get around to it. And, of course, you've got one building that still has a presence and a family associated with it if you go back to the early 1800s. And so if you have a people that have been oppressed and enslaved, the likelihood is that there is going to be stories around of ghosts and horrendous, horrible people that are now there on the island. As,
it's like a stain.
Yeah, as the ghosts and spirits that inhabit the place. Very interesting, very interesting. But the true story of Annie Palmer is a little bit less dramatic. Well, a lot less dramatic. A lot less dramatic than the legend. Poor Annie. And if her soul is there, she's there for retribution, I reckon. She'd be there going, stop telling this shit about my life.
Yeah.
Because it's not true. A little bit like Lizzie Borden.
Yes, and also reminds me of Sam at the Gravedigger's Cottage at Kew Station.
Absolutely. So let's look at some of this stuff that's been said about her. So Annie Palmer was born Annie Mary Patterson. She was a Jamaican of Scottish descent. She was not brought up in Haiti at all.
There was no voodoo nanny that taught her all her spells and craft?
No, there was not a Haitian nanny.
Oh, she must have had to teach herself then.
And she certainly had no training in voodoo.
Oh, but she still murdered all those husbands.
Well.
Did she?
In 1820, she did marry John Rose Palmer, the great-nephew of the original John Palmer. And John Rose Palmer was Annie's first and only husband.
What? Oh, well, she must have had lots of lovers then. It must have been a very unhappy marriage. Mm. And she had lots of lovers that she murdered.
Actually not.
Beverly will not be happy.
There's very little known about their life together. It was quite private, actually, and it seems to have been normal, peaceful, and nothing really to talk about.
What?
Now, their time in Rose Hall, to add insult to injury, sorry, Beverly, was actually a short one, and neither of them died there.
No.
Neither of them died there.
Well, what about the tomb with all the crosses on it? Who the hell's in that?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay,
so the huge debts attached to Rose Hall and the estates associated with it were more than John Rose Palmer could absorb. And so this is one of the reasons they both left. They actually sold the place and left up. So both properties eventually passed into the hands of the receivers, and Rose Hall's great house stood abandoned for more than 130 years, falling into a terrible, terrible state of disrepair. How anyone managed to bring it back up to how it looks now, well, kudos to them and kudos to Beverly for looking at, look, we've got to give her something. Yeah. We've got to give her something.
Yep, yep, yep.
So Annie Palmer did not kill her husband or anybody else. Sorry. John died in 1827 of natural causes. And there is also no record of her ever having tortured or mistreated a slave. Have we ticked all the boxes yet? Almost all.
Oh, well, this is boring, Renata.
Yeah, I know. So the estate had been cared for by just two slaves for most years, one or two slaves. And once it was turned over to the receivers, John and Annie didn't keep any slaves at all. Now, remember, this is a stage where most plantation owners that were left, and that was only a handful, had anywhere between 100 and 150 slaves.
Oh, wow. They had none.
They had one or two.
One or two.
One or two. Now, when John died, what little interest Annie still had in the estate, she sold for £200. And when Annie herself died in 1846, 15 years after she was supposedly murdered by her slave lover, she left what little she had to her goddaughter, Giolia Mary Spence.
Oh, what a gorgeous name.
Yeah.
Was she the White Witch?
No.
Beverly's not going to be happy.
No. So, yeah, how did such an innocent, beautiful woman living in a really quiet and really an uneventful life, how did she become the centre of this horrendous story? How did she become the White Witch?
It is horrendous, and it's her name that is attached to it.
Yep. So let's see where all of this goes. So the seeds of this legend were sown in 1868 when a Falmouth newspaper editor published...
We're not saying foul.
No, Falmouth.
Fall.
A newspaper editor published a booklet containing many of the elements of the current tale.
Mm.
The difference was that this story had Rosa Palmer. Remember I said name?
Yes,
Rosa
yes.
Palmer as the White Witch.
Because she actually did have a lot of husbands.
She did have a lot of husbands. And the murders and other terrible deeds were attributed to her. The fact that she had actually had four husbands helped to give the story some sort of credibility. So we've got this timeline of these four husbands and they all kind of mysteriously die within a year or two, first of all, of mm-hmm. being married and building her a lovely house. And then they all drop dead except for the last one. And, you know, with legends and other added parts to this story, it's kind of grown legs. And in 1911, a book on the history of St. James was published and that retold the story, but Annie had become the central figure.
Right.
Now, why? Maybe because they had a portrait of her and they could then go, well, this is the magnificent White Witch of Rose Hall and there was no portrait of Rosa. I don't know.
Like beautiful?
Not from the picture that I've seen. She's kind of just Annie. Yeah. There is a portrait of her. She does look very stern. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a reason why. In 1929, Annie Palmer's fate was forever sealed as fact and fiction became inextricably entwined in the Herbert G. de Lisse novel, The White Witch of Rose Hall.
Hang on. Did you say novel?
Yes. The White Witch of Rose Hall.
So that's not a non-fiction book.
Mm.
It's a fiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Has anyone told this to Beverly yet?
So whatever. How many times have we mentioned that poor woman's name? Oh, we're going to get
We'll get
mail.
Hate mail. That's okay. We're going to hell anyway.
Whatever elements had been left out of the legend by the other two publications had now been supplied and people were happy to believe it.
Yeah.
They were happy to believe it.
It sort of brought it all together and putting it in writing like that. So that's where I have to tell you now that my soundscape from the very beginning was from that book.
Ah.
So it, as you can see, it's very Mills and Boone.
Very Mills and Boone. And you've got to think of the time, 1929. So it was perfect
mm-hmm.
To wrap people who were really interested in these sort of romantic stories, up and take them away on this journey. And most people really didn't know anything about Jamaica, let's face it.
No. So, but yeah. They knew about voodoo.
They knew about
and
voodoo.
And that was very exciting. And then to think of a white woman who had learnt the secrets of voodoo.
Yes.
That was even.
She turned to the dark side.
Yes. And a woman in those days being lustful and sexually aggressive.
Oh, that's true.
There's so many no-nos in there.
So though claimed to be the tomb of Annie Palmer, we go to this tomb and there'll be a picture up on the Facebook page about it. This is most likely false as well, as Annie had not been living at Rose Hall at the time of her death and, in fact, had sold her remaining interest in the place nearly 20 years earlier.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that there is a photo of the Ghost Adventures team all standing around there looking very buff with their rainbow-coloured umbrellas.
No. So it could be Rose's tomb.
Could be.
It could be Rose's tomb, but you are right. The tomb does show crosses on all sides except for one.
But what about the audacity of these psychics to come over and do that?
Yeah.
That actually, I got a little bit pissed at that. Mm-hmm. I thought that's just ego, pure ego.
Or did they?
Or did it
or
even
did they? Now, this did is it true. Even
I,
happen?
I did try to dig down and find the story of who it was and who did that. Mm-hmm. Maybe Beverly knows. I don't know. But I could find it referred to several times, but I couldn't find who it was or their journey.
Mm.
So is this another
Furphy?
Furphy? Misinformation? Yep. Yeah. Whatever.
So whether or not Rose Hall is truly haunted is hard to say for certain, as much depends on individual beliefs. And of course there will be people who will go and say, it's haunted. I was in there and I felt things, like some of the different teams that have already been there and have said they have felt things. A branch broke.
Yes, that's
haunted.
That's the White Witch.
Yep. So, as you said, people claim to see shadowy figures dressed in a green velvet riding habit. A figure has been seen riding a black horse across the estate grounds. And others say they've seen figure of a woman dressed in white on the stairs and have caught glimpses of the same figure moving about inside the house. And there have been reports of screams, sounds of running footsteps heard from various rooms, and, of course, the gift shop, which was the cellar.
Yes, the pit.
If the place is actually haunted, it can be said for certain that it has nothing to do with a white witch, murdered husbands, tortured slaves, or voodoo rituals, though it could very well be Annie Palmer come back from the grave to try and clear her tarnished name.
Yeah. And this is one of the issues we have with ghost hunters and paranormal investigators. By learning these legends that, and they go to these places to investigate, and they've not dug down to the truth,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking for these ghosts
mm-hmm.
that don't exist,
mm-hmm.
that never existed.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't find evidence of that ghost,
that makes them a bad investigator.
They're bad investigators because they couldn't find the famous ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ghost Hunters International, they actually presented the information and everything to our lovely Beverly. I think that's who it was. And they said, look, I'm sorry, we could find no evidence of ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that this place is not haunted. There was just nothing that happened at the time we were here.
Mm-hmm.
So they could find nothing to corroborate the stories. They mm-hmm. didn't dig down and find the true story
mm-hmm.
of Annie. But in one of my researches, and look, I'll just give you some of the pages I looked at now. I had Ghost Aspects Folklore, .com, occultworld.com, jamaicanfamilysearch.com, exemplar.com, mysteriousbritain.co.uk. That's, and of course, the book by the White Witch of Rose Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa?
I've got probably about 4 or 5 sites as well. It's not that hard to dig down and find the truth. With this particular story.
No.
It's not that hard. But to present it as a true haunting is impossible once we know the truth of this. As you said, It could be haunted by something else. It mm-hmm. could now be haunted by the reconstruction of this story.
Yeah, it's become a thought form because they've now laid that much energy into it.
Yep.
And the staff there tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
The parents in the area will tell the story of the White Witch to scare their children into going to bed on time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's where legend has become
reality.
Reality.
But it is unfair to tell this story
it is.
Without actually mentioning the truth.
Yes, and I agree. So, Renata.
No.
Would you want to go there and investigate?
I'd like to go and check it out. I don't know whether I'd like to investigate or not. I'd love to spend a couple of hours there and walk through the rooms and check it out and get the vibe of the place. Whether I'd spend a night investigating, I'm not sure whether I would do that after reading all of this.
Yeah.
It upsets me that they would take a lovely lady and ruin her reputation to
yep.
the point where they have really, really scarred her.
Yes.
And the rest of the family by this.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about the whole slaves thing is also really gut-wrenchingly horrible.
Yep.
But, yeah, look, it would be awesome to go and visit.
Yeah. Now, just before I give my input on it, there was one other thing I forgot to mention. I found a skeptics website as well where they had talked about the ghost, and, of course, they've pulled up the real history of Annie. But they've also said, and Ghost Hunters went in there and they meet the show Ghost Hunters, found proof that the ghost of Annie existed. And I thought, they haven't watched the show.
Mm.
They've just assumed that the Ghost Hunters have gone in there and found evidence because they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And look.
And that's deriding them.
Yeah, that's that means he's a cynic. He's mm-hmm. not a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all up for cynics. I think, not cynics, skeptics, because we need them. They're the ones who get us to keep our feet on the ground.
Yes.
But don't go saying stuff that's not real.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people will immediately jump to that and go, oh, yeah, yeah, look, they're all fake. No, they're not. These guys did a good job and said the place wasn't haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Would I go there? First off, no, I don't think it's haunted by Annie or by the White Witch, I should say. It's probably haunted by Annie, who is very angry that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there doesn't seem to be a lot of angry reports of energy there,
mm-hmm.
just footsteps and banging doors and things mm-hmm. like that. How high up on my list it is to go and investigate somewhere in a place I would visit in the world, it would be fairly low.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to be filthy rich and be bored and have nowhere else to investigate, because I've got a lot of stuff on my bucket list I want to check off before I get to a place with a made-up story.
Mm.
Ooh, ouch.
And
sorry, Beverly.
One of the reasons we chose this place was that it was high on the list of places to investigate in the
yeah.
world.
And I should mention, I also used Jeff Belanger's book, The Haunted yeah. Places Around the World.
And so it is worth in a podcast like this
mm-hmm.
Bringing in all of the types of stories.
Yes.
Whether they're awful and true and amazing, or whether they're kind of made up. Makes for a good podcast.
It certainly does. So thank you for joining us on this week's episode of True Hauntings. Once again, we hope you have enjoyed it. If you would like to support us and the work that we do have a Patreon account, Anne and Renata, Frightfully Good. So feel free to become one of our Patreons on there. We have a nice little private group there where we do some extra readings and chat and find out all the secrets behind the scenes. And we'd really appreciate your support so we can keep this podcast going. Make sure you're subscribed, you've shared it, you've done all that stuff that we mention at the end of every podcast. We love yous all, and
we'll see you on the dark side.
Bye for now. Hey guys, it's Anne. I've snuck in to ask you all a big, big favour. Can you all go to the AustralianPodcastAwards.com/vote and type in our name in search for the podcast, and then vote for us? make sure that you follow that email that goes through and you validate that so they know that you're real. But at the moment, that would help us so much to raise our profile, and we would love you forever. Also, a big shout out to Bonnie, who has edited up this episode of True Hauntings to make sure it still gets out to you guys on time. Love you, Bonnie. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow @AnneAndRenata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.